from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Donnie Football in for Joe and Paul. We are at Old Stonewall, the It's About the Warrior Foundation golf outing. Paul and Joe, part of the fan foursome that is out there. It's Paul Zeiss, Joe Starkey, Paul Alexander, and Chris Muller trying to win this thing this afternoon. We go right back out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll jump back into some discussions about your Pittsburgh Pirates in action again tonight. Losers of 10 consecutive games, Pirates back home against the Mariners. Paul Skeens gets the ball for Pittsburgh. We welcome in another former Pirates pitcher, Bob Walk, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit FCU.org. Also brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Try the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 8885-HELMET for a free estimate. Bob, Paul Skeens gets the ball tonight for the Pirates. He has, oddly, by his standards, looked a little bit human in his last three starts. Since pitching into the ninth inning against St. Louis, we have seen this guy at least show some signs of humanity out there on that mound. Are you noticing anything different with him as he is getting later on into his first major league season, or just, you know, kind of some scuffles in the road?
Well, I didn't watch the last start, but I did, read a lot of the quotes and stuff, and I gathered that his splitter or sprinkler or whatever you call that pitch wasn't getting through the strike zone without getting hit. But that was kind of like the first time we've really seen that. Before they went on the road trip, I thought maybe, you know, we weren't seeing quite the overpowering fastball that we were a month ago. But, I mean, still he throws very hard even when he's not, throwing like he triple digits every single pitch, it seems like. So I don't there's nothing you can really put your finger on. I think he's a smart guy. He's, going to benefit, I think, from the experience this year. And because of how smart he is, he'll get it figured out really quick about, okay, this happens after you've been pitching for 3 or 4 months, and I need to try and do this a little bit different. Maybe the sideline is a little different. Maybe he's going to change, the way he warms up for a game. Maybe he throws too much. Maybe he doesn't throw enough. There'll be little things that he'll do different, going into next season, I'm sure, just thinking back on this year. One of the things I hope we'll start doing different is, like you say, he hasn't been pitching great maybe his last couple, but he still should, even when he's not pitching great, you should still win most of those ball games. Mm-hmm. And our record with him on the mound is not what you would think it should be. And, you know, I would like to see that get turned around here this last month and a half of the season. And we got to turn it around really quick, or the last month and a half of the season, or the last month of the season anyway, will just, you know, turn into kind of like tryouts and looking at guys and making evaluations on what we got to do in the wintertime. You know, we got to do something about that and do something about that in a hurry.
Yeah, Skeens individually, he is still 6-2 on the season. The Pirates as a team in games that he starts, just 9-6, and you would think the record should be a whole lot better than what it is. Bob, if they stay on this current trajectory, not continuing to just lose every game, but they don't really gain any ground by the time we hit September, is there any thought that maybe we get from, you know, we get about a month from now, we're in the middle of September, there's about a week and a half, 2 weeks left in the season, and they think, you know, we can shut Paul down here, maybe a start or two or three before he would normally be shut down? Or do you think we see him the rest of the way no matter what?
I would think that they would, you know, shut him down if we get to the point to where it's like, you know, really common sense that, you know, no matter what we do from here on, we're not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, go ahead and let him, you know, miss his last couple of starts and, you know, think for the future a little bit. I think that would be would make sense to do. I think if you look at their track record over, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, they've done that with a lot of our starting pitchers. So why wouldn't they do that with Skeens? So, yeah, now if we suddenly, you know, put together a nice winning streak and get to where, you know, it doesn't sound silly to start talking about, you know, making the postseason again like we were talking 2 weeks ago, then, yeah, I mean, you got to do what you can to get him all the way to the end, because he's one of your very best weapons you have on the entire roster when it comes to, you know, winning a ball game. So it depends on where we're at, I think. And as you just said, if we continue to drop further and further, if we have to start playing way over 500 baseball here in a hurry. If we don't do that, well, then, yeah, you're going to get into September, you know, maybe even with 3 weeks less, and start looking at, you know, how far, how many teams you got to crawl over to make it, and how many games behind you are, and, you know, maybe you're not absolutely mathematically out of it, but common sense tells you, hey, we're not going to do it this year. You know, we got to start thinking about next season and taking care of the arms that we need to have.
The game that kickstarted this now 10-game losing streak the Pirates are currently on, it was actually a Paul Skeens start. It was Sunday, August 4th, that finale against Arizona. He pitched well enough for this team to win. They were in a good position to win the game. That was when the decision to have Colin Holderman face Jock Peterson backfired. Peterson hit a 3-run home run. Arizona wins the game. The Pirates have not won a game since that point. It seemed at the time like the wind came out of the sails a little bit from the team, and they unfortunately have showed that in full light by not winning a game since. From a broadcast standpoint and a former player standpoint on your end, Bob, did that feel like a real deflating loss at the time, or does it just seem that way looking back to it?
No, it was a very deflating loss at the time. But it has no effect on the 10-game losing streak. In a baseball season, you have losses like that where you go home after the game thinking, how in the heck did we lose that game? But, you know, there's no such thing as momentum in baseball. You really – there's no carryover effect to that as long as you got a good team and they're going to go out and you got a good pitcher the next day. I mean, that's what really matters. In baseball, you don't lose a game that you should have won and then, you know, go on this bad losing streak because of that. It has nothing to do with that. You go back and you look at all the games in this losing streak and pick them apart, and you can find easily reasons why we lost the game. A bullpen collapse. We didn't get good starting pitching in this game. We were down by, like, the other day with Keller, we're down by a bunch of runs early. We score three runs or four runs in three games or something like that. And there's your other reason. There's always something going on. It's not really about that deflating loss. That was a deflating loss, but that is not why we lost 10 games in a row.
What do you think is their main issue right now, or do you just think it is a bunch of things all coming together, unfortunately, at the same time?
Well, losing every single game is not because the bullpen has fallen apart, but over the last couple of weeks, the last homestand and on the road trip, you can point to the bullpen for a majority of the losses. So you can say, yeah, if the bullpen would have been doing their job and pitching like they were a month ago, you know, we wouldn't have lost 10 in a row. We might have lost five, but, you know, that's 5-5, and you're still in the hunt, and things aren't a disaster. But losing 10 in a row, the majority of the problem was the bullpen. It's there. Now, you can find a game and say, like I just did a while ago, you can say, oh, well, this one here, we lost these two games because we couldn't score a run. We lost these two games because we double-digit strikeouts. You know, we lost this game because our starter, you know, gave up a bunch of runs in the first two innings of the ball game. There are some games like that, too, but I think the major problem here lately, you know, since the end of July, has been the bullpen. Now, there's a couple of guys out there that are pitching well. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Chapman has looked pretty good. I mean, he, in the middle of all this mess, he's throwing 105 mile an hour. Mm-hmm. But a bullpen is more than one or two guys.
Do you think there should be any thought to have Chapman maybe be the closer the rest of the way, or do you think Derek Shelton is playing this the wise way by keeping David Bednar in that spot?
I think he has to keep Bednar in that spot. I mean, what he means to this team and what he's done up to this point, you got to go with him. I mean, you pull him out of there at the first sign of problem, say, you know, a week, 10 days ago, you're going to lose a lot of the other players. You might lose the clubhouse. It's a look of panic when you do that. You know, go away from somebody that's been so good to you for so long when it doesn't really look like there's a major problem. Now, if he was out there and his fastball is all of a sudden down 92 mile an hour, 93, something bad wrong with him, yeah, everybody on the team sees that. You need to get him out of there. But he's throwing 97 to 99, and so there's no obvious reason why he suddenly is not doing the job that he has been doing for the last couple of years. So I don't see any problem with sticking with him. Now, you know, we're talking about what are we going to do in September. Well, then, you know, if you're out of the race, well, then maybe things are going to be a little different. You try some different things. But up until this point, I would have done the same thing. You gotta say, not only does he mean a lot to the guys in the clubhouse, his teammates, he means a lot to the city of Pittsburgh. He has been such a favorite here, you know, a local guy that is a good person, does a ton of stuff off the field. I know none of this matters when it comes to saving games, but I'm just saying, you know, he's such a high character guy. I guess I'll just leave it at that, that he deserves a little bit more rope than some of the other people on that team.
Bob Walk with us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pirates and Mariners tonight, 6:40 first pitch. Our coverage starts at 5:45, all presented by Pella Windows. Bob, the Pirates 7.5 games back, a handful of teams that they would have to jump to get into that third and final wild card spot. What's the point for you as we sit here in mid-August? The point for you where you are saying, okay, yeah, there's no coming back from this. I think this season is over.
Well, I think, you know, over the next 15 games or so, we need to win about 10 of them. You know, if you got five guys in front of you that you got to jump over, and you're still 7.5 back, and you're almost at the end of the month, or you are at the end of the month, well, that mathematically is probably not undoable, but realistically, I mean, you know, who can do that? And we're not talking about winning the division. We're talking about just getting into the, you know, the wild card. You can't really answer that question right now because you can't throw in the towel with the numbers being what they are. But if they don't improve by a ton here pretty soon, yeah, it's going to be time to say, okay, we had a horrible month of August. We're not going to be able to make it this year. The August, cost us. At some point, you are going to have to say that.
How would you handle the final month? You mentioned like the tryout period a little bit ago, maybe bringing some guys up, mixing things up a little bit. Considering you have some veterans on expiring deals, like Yasmani Grandal, let's say, let's start with the catcher position. I know Joey Bart has been a great find, but do you consider, if you're the Pirates, bringing up Henry Davis, who I know has struggled mightily in the majors this season, but he's been mashing AAA pitching? Do you bring him up to maybe hope he can finish 2024 on a high note in the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, the catching situation, you do have an older guy on an expiring contract who, is probably not going to be with you next year. Bart has played very well, so, part of what the end of the season might end be, like September, is like making the decision, okay, is Bart going to be our starting catcher next year? If he does in the next 6 weeks, what he's done so far, the answer to that is yes. So now you're looking for a backup catcher. Do you want Davis to be that backup catcher? Or should he be playing every day? I mean, those are the decisions that they're going to have to be making in September if we're not in the race anymore. All those positions, the shortstop position. Cruz has had a very tough year on defense. So I think these last 6 weeks are very important to him on the defensive side. If he doesn't show improvement, if he keeps making errors at the rate he's made them, especially lately, then at the end of the season, they're probably going to start having discussions about, well, do we need to find a shortstop for next year? Because I don't see, an everyday player option on the team right now at shortstop. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that's here. So they're going to have to make that decision sooner than later if they don't like what they see from Cruz these last 6 weeks, because I'm sure right now they're not real happy with his progress. This is his first full year, so I can understand giving him plenty of time to show he can sink or swim out there on defense. But he's not really improving a whole lot. It's kind of the same thing you saw earlier, seeing lately. I think he needs to show that he's getting better for them to, stay with him for next year. So I think that's going to be another, not really a tryout. Tryout's kind of maybe a wrong word, but evaluations on what you're going to do for next year will be a lot about what September is if we don't put some kind of a winning streak together here really soon.
If it was up to you, based on what you've seen defensively from O'Neill Cruz to this point in the season, 107 games under his belt in 2024, what would you do with him defensively next season?
I wouldn't make that decision right now. There's no reason to. I would wait till the end of the season, and if he shows a whole lot of improvement in the last 6 weeks, well, then maybe you think, well, maybe we're okay there. I mean, and look, what is he going to be as a hitter here the last 6 weeks? So I think there's still something to see from him. A lot of this decision is still in his hands. Let him show you. Let him tell you what you're going to do with him next year. Right now, no, he's not playing very well on defense. But the season's not over yet, and there's nobody I don't want to put anybody else out there that's on this team right now on an everyday basis other than him. I want his bat in the lineup. Where are you going to put him? You're going to change positions with him, and right here at the end of the year, I don't think that they will. I don't think they'll do that. And I wouldn't, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do that. I would just, keep playing him and make the decision at the end of the season. He's either my shortstop next year or I'm going to have to look for something else. That's the way I do it.
Someone who's basically only in there for his defensive work is the guy at third base, Key Brian Hayes. He is just having an abysmal offensive season. What's your level of concern with his bat, Bob, and just his overall longevity as a Pirate?
Well, you can't have his bat at a corner position, third base, first base. I mean, that's where you're looking for run production out of those places. He's going to have to, move to a defensive-minded position if he's going to hit like he's hitting now. And in fact, it's even hard to, if he's hitting like he's hitting now, his OPS is, I haven't looked at it in a long time. Last time I looked, it was like
586.
It's not even in the 600s. So, at what position on the field, can you carry offensive number like that and still be an everyday player? Some organizations will do that at catcher, but they're certainly not going to do it at a corner infield position or a corner outfield position.
There was, I think, Jordy Mercer. Yeah, it was Jordy Mercer a couple of weeks ago. He joined Pony and Mueller in the afternoon. He had a suggestion that I thought was creative. I don't know if they could really pull it off, but I did like the creativity with the two guys we were just talking about. He said, what if they moved Key Brian Hayes to short and O'Neill Cruz to third base?
A couple years ago, I said Key Brian Hayes is a shortstop.
I think he would take to that position like anything. I think he's good enough defensively to where that wouldn't be an issue.
Yes, but then you have a shortstop that's hitting in the 500s, the OPS wise. So, I don't know. Is he that good of a shortstop to where you'll accept that? I mean, is he a Mark Belanger? I don't know. Maybe he is. But, I mean, the big thing is, why isn't he hitting? I mean, that's a bigger question other than where is he going to play? Why isn't he hitting? Is his back so bad that he really shouldn't be playing? I don't know. I mean, that's a question to me, is where is that bat? How can he, from what we've seen at times, I mean, he's never really put together a big, long, he hit extremely well for 2 months here, for 1 month there. He's never really been consistent, but he's shown flashes of being a very good hitter. Well, where is that? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I feel like we've only seen that really in the first week of the season from him. He has 13 extra base hits this year, 4 home runs and 9 doubles from Key Brian Hayes. Someone who has been
look at his numbers last 2 months of last season. He had this guy should be your cleanup hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't expect him to hit like that for 6 months. But how about a month or two of that, and then another couple of months of just being decent. And then at the end of the year, you look up and he's got numbers like Reynolds has year after year after year.
Someone who is also a expiring contract, but I think he should be an easy re-sign. I'll volley the ball to you here, Bob. Andrew McCutchen has been productive yet again. Maybe the batting average isn't there. He's striking out more than he did last season. But fact of the matter is, 16 home runs, third best on your entire team, only behind Reynolds and Cruz. 16 home runs from Andrew McCutchen. He's been a pretty good guy out of that leadoff spot. His OPS plus is 109 on the season. I think he should absolutely be somebody back here. I know that they worry about, he can only be a DH. He rarely plays the field anymore. But I just feel in the twilight of his career, he is still productive. And unfortunately for the organization and the roster, they don't have really anybody better to replace him. I think Kutch should be back here in 2025.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, including the part that, all they can do is DH. That's kind of that makes it not a slam dunk. But if they bring him back, I certainly understand why they would do that. But not being able to play in the field anymore, it does, hurt his value to some extent. They would like to use that, that DH in some other ways, but as you pointed out, well, then you're taking, Kutch out of that leadoff situation, and he does strike out a lot, but he still gets on base. His on-base percentage is is still okay because he has a great eye, probably has the best eye on the team. He gets a lot of walks, and I think that's great to have in front of your better hitters. So, you know, I agree with you. He's been very productive this year. But I sure wish he could still play the outfield because that would help us out immensely if he could go out and play the outfield. But at his age, it's not going to happen. I mean, really, even before he was with us, if you look back at his last year there with the Brewers, he was mainly a DH, I think, for the Brewers also. So those days of him going out and playing much or at all in the field are definitely over with. He now is a full-time DH.
Pirates and Mariners tonight, 6:40 first pitch, 5:45 is when our coverage begins, all presented by Pella Windows. Bob, do the Pirates end their 10-game losing skid tonight?
Yeah, why not? I mean, you got Skeens out there, so I'm thinking, you know, when I was pitching, I hated going and pitching against a team that was in like some kind of a funk losing, because you know that it's baseball and all that stuff kind of goes to the mean. So if you're going up against a team that's won 10 in a row, I felt confident about that. So going into tonight, you got your best pitcher out on the mound, you're back home. You've just lost 10 in a row. I mean, just luck and that kind of thing, the regular old baseball gods kind of deal, that's in your favor. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be a W tonight. And hopefully we can put together a bunch of them here real quickly, because most of our conversation has been about what we're going to do in September. Well, if we can, you know, win 7 out of 10 or something, well, you know, now we don't have to start talking about, you know, that we're totally out of the race and we're not going to be able to do anything. But time has run out to, like, keep our head above water. We got to make a move real, real quick, starting maybe tonight.
Pirates broadcaster and former Pirates pitcher Bob Walk. Bob, thanks for taking the time.
All right, Donnie. Take care.
There we go. Bob Walk. Some good stuff from him. We'll chew on some of that. On the other side, also text in the city coming your way, and a goodbye to intern Trent.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Is on the way. What's cooking? That's brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Donnie, football in for Joe Starkey and Paul Zients. A few more minutes with me before we pass you along to Andrew Filippone. We are live at Old Stonewall, the It's About the Warrior Foundation golf outing, the fan foursome. We have not been able to find out how that team is looking. It was Paul Alexander, Paul Zients, Joe Starkey, and Chris Muller. I do know that I believe Paul Alexander had to get out of here early because he will be hosting starting at 2 o'clock on KDKA AM. So Alexander, who is a very good golfer, Mulsey described him as an automatic fairway off the tee, which would always put you in a good position during these scramble events. I believe he had to get out of here after the first nine holes. So hopefully these guys had some ground that they could afford to let up a little bit on the back nine, because losing maybe their best hitter off the tee may not bode well. Austin Bechtold back behind the glass in the Green Tree Studios. Intern Trent back there as well. Austin, have you been able to snag IT from his other duties? I know he helps you out with the podcasting and such, but we have to bid him adieu, his final day interning with the fan this summer. Is he around?
Yes, IT is now currently getting situated with some headphones at the mic if you give him about 30 seconds. I mean, this might be the best thing that I can possibly do for you, Donnie.
Paul says he's listening right now from the PGA Tour.
You know how much we love our Paul pauses around here.
Oh, yeah. I should have had some built in today to let you hit that, but I mean, I guess it's a better time than never for that. Is IT ready to go in there?
Hello?
There he is.
I'm ready.
Ah, there he is.
IT, we appreciate your great work this summer. I'm sure Austin appreciates it greatly. I didn't get to work with you directly, but you just remember when you head back to school here that I was here you on your final day.
You were.
Paul Zients, Joe Starkey, they decided to play golf.
They ditched me.
In an outing.
I know, they ditched me. A little upsetting, but we'll get past it.
Are you heading back to school, final year here, or what's up with intern Trent after this summer internship is up?
Yeah, I'm headed back tomorrow, actually. This will be my final year at IUP, so.
Man, tomorrow, that's an early arrival.
Yeah, I got to be back a little early for hockey, but our training camp starts on Monday.
Oh, I didn't know you were a hockey guy. Well, my intern, Sonny Gray, he's a massive hockey guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Hockey is like his version of football. That's all he likes talking about.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, yeah.
You guys could have bonded a little bit. What were some of your favorite memories with the group over the course of the summer? I mean, I know what kind of characters you're dealing with Zients and Starkey.
Yeah, there were a lot of good memories. One that definitely sticks out to me, though, is when Joe and Crowley arm wrestled before one of the shows. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, Joe got a nice little kick into that. I hope that Limits taught you well back there. That's one thing I was prideful of last year. Hopefully it helped with Sonny Gray this summer, but I was able to sort of cultivate intern Dom now into a part-time producer. So I was happy with my work, but I'm sure Limits was a very good teacher for you.
Yeah, he was awesome. I appreciate everything he did for me. Made me feel very welcomed and comfortable around the studio. Yeah, he's a great kid.
Yeah, I like IT. We've really bonded over the last couple of months, and you know, he doesn't talk much. You know, we've really gotten him to really get out of his shell over the last couple of weeks, especially. And he also had a hole-in-one on the golf course in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
So big congrats to IT. Zients put it out there on Twitter when I was away. So pump for IT to get a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
What course, what hole?
It was Westmoreland Country Club, hole number
nine. Okay. Well, I'm from out that way, so I'm familiar with where you're talking about.
Yeah. Hole number nine.
Man. Now, were you a high school golfer as well? Were you always pretty into it?
I've always been into golf, yeah, but I never actually played in high school. I was mainly focused on hockey. So,
Man, I think the only hole in one I'll ever be getting will be on the mini golf course. I don't know what I would do if I got an actual hole in one in golf. That would be something. Well, IT, we appreciate all the stuff you did this summer. I'm sure Austin appreciates it as well. Wish I could have worked more closely with you, but being on different shows made that a little bit difficult. But I just wanted to say thanks as a station as a whole to you for your intern work this summer, and good luck in your final year at IUP.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you to everyone else who welcomed me, made me feel like one here. And Donnie, thank you for being with me on my last day.
I'm going to make sure that Joe and Paul know that I had a very, very nice goodbye for you while they were out here playing golf.
Yeah, let them know.
Limits, any big – I know we did white hot takes earlier, but we might as well predict this Pirate game tonight and the Steeler game tomorrow, what you expect out of these two games. I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, I don't really care, Donnie, about like winners and losers if you win in the preseason or if you don't win in the preseason. We've seen that happen. Remember where the Browns went 0-16? They won all three games in the preseason. Who cares? The main thing is, how do guys perform in certain situations? I want to see Justin Fields. How does he, once again, go out there and factor into the offense? I don't want to see any fumbled exchanges, whether it be with Nate Herbig or with Zach Frazier, and I think that's a big part of it. Also, staying in the pocket, how does he do against, because I think he's going to face the Bills' first-team defense a little bit. How does he factor there? And defensively, I want to see Peyton Wilson continue to do his thing. How does Beanie Bishop fare against the Bills? Kind of a depleted wide receiver core compared to last year. Same thing with Dante Jackson and Desmond Elliott. Deshaun Elliott, those are the guys that I think I'm mainly keeping an eye on, as well as some of these battles at wide receiver and the offensive line. So the offensive line, number one, that I'm looking out for. Number two is Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Do the Pirates win tonight? Do they end the 10-game skid?
Yes, because Paul Skeens is on the mound. If it was anybody else, I would say no, but it's Skeens, and I just can't doubt his greatness, even though you said the Pirates are 9-6 in games he starts.
Yep.
That just is the tale of the city and how the Pirates have digressed over the past couple of weeks.
They won the game in Houston on July 29th, but they have lost three out of the last four Paul Skeens starts. I'm not uber confident that they get it done, but you know what? I'm just going to go back to that optimism well. I'm going to take the Pirates to win tonight. It's a special Friday night at the ballpark. Maybe they come alive and they give Paul Skeens enough. I think he pitches well enough, certainly, to give them a chance to win. And the bullpen actually holds it down. I'm putting a lot of faith into these guys, I know. But it's got to end somewhere. Let's just say it ends at 10 games. And the big thing with the Steelers tomorrow, quickly, the offensive line for me. That's always the crew I'm looking at. I think that Zach Frazier will solidify himself as the team's starting center tomorrow as well. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Before we pass you off to Andrew Filippone, a thank you to everyone who joined us today. Ray Fittipaldo, Ben Tenuta, Bob Walk. A thank you to City Limits Behind the Glass. A thank you to IT as well on his last day, and a thank you to Seth Davis here live with me at Old Stonewall, the It's About the Warrior Foundation golf outing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.